Welcome to the Council of Moms, where we really talk about the things that are on your mind. In fact, specifically, we have listener questions today. I'm really excited just to dive into it. My name is Lisa Valentine Clark. I am a widowed mother of five kids. Right now, my kids are mostly grown. I only have two at home, although I had three yesterday. I'm kind of in that phase where they sort of like come and go and they're, you know, like moving in and out as young adults. So that's the phase of parenting that I'm in. I love hosting this podcast. I love talking with other moms and doing some acting and voiceover work. That's kind of what I do, but I would love to know what everyone else does. And so here on the Council of Moms, we have...
I'm Anna Eck, and I am a multi-business owner. One of my businesses that I am most proud of is my childcare company, which is called the Mom Pod Co. It stemmed out of being a single mom and then going through a bunch of different childcare issues. And I am really proud of it. It's growing. I try to do a lot of work in my community and for helping other moms in different areas. And so that's my life, momhood. And then now I get to help mom other children. And so it's super fun. And I have two kids, a baby who is only 6 months. She is my little angel. Just kidding.
You should have brought her.
I thought about it, but she would steal the show because she's got like a head full of hair. Like literally looks like she was born with a wig. And
I love it.
She's just cute. And then I have my son who's also adorable. He is 4. And that's us right now. Just a small little family getting going on our journey. And so it's fun.
Hi, I'm Trina Celeste. I have a mix of life experiences, but I have 3 sons. One's a Marine. He's in Okinawa, Japan. Right now, I have a 20-year-old tomorrow that's going to Utah Valley University. And then I have a 9th grader that plays the trumpet. And then I have 5 stepkids. So I have 8 kids if you add them up. Sometimes I joke, it's 3 + 5 feels like 27.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Like I think that math checks out.
Yeah, that's what it feels like some days. But we have a large knot on the small side like you. We've just kind of like went big bang, you know, as we remarried and blended a big family. But my background has been in technology for 30 years. And co-founded a nonprofit, which is most of the work I've been doing lately. I do a lot of public speaking and presentations, but my true passion and love is helping women in their careers and find the and between life success and a successful career and knowing how to meld those two things. And I recently published a book called Orchestrating Life Work Harmony. And how to do that, how to find harmony in our lives between life and work and instead of trying to balance everything. So that's a little bit about me and what I do.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm Cree Taylor, and I have 3 kids, but no, I actually have 4 of them, and they are young. My oldest is 8, and then I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an 18-month-old.
Oh, wow.
So that keeps half of my life busy, well, all of my life busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also a teacher. I'm a lecturer at a university in North Logan. I teach in the English department there, writing, research, courses about race and ethnicity and inclusive excellence. And I found, I was pondering coming down here, it's like all of my work in teaching and mothering, I coach at some high school sports, is mothering. Like, I just do that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell my students all the time, I start this semester and I say, like, this is my family. Here are my children. You need to see them because I worked really hard to create them. And I need you to see how beautiful they are. And also, I teach Monday, Wednesday, Friday. When I'm not on campus on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm with them. And you can email me, but you won't get an email back from me until Wednesday when I'm with you again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my husband and I are at a really crazy time because of that. But it's all of it informs everything. And I love it. I mean, it gives me a lot of opportunities to meet a lot of interesting people and to see, you know, these 18-year-olds that I get in my class. I'm like, oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to make some adjustments right now with my little kids so that they feel more empowered than you do, or so that, you know, they don't turn 18 and really hate me, right? So I get a lot of there's a feedback loop between my mothering and my teaching.
I love that. Everything's connected that. Yeah. Well, it's so great to have you guys here. On the Council of Moms, we have these listener questions that, you know, as we connect with the podcast and with the listeners, we really want to know what it is that, you know, people worry about and that they're thinking about. And so thank you for being here. I'm going to dive right into a listener question that we have. This is from Mia in Kansas City, Missouri. For most of my life as a parent, my partner and I have had solid jobs and we've enjoyed financial stability. But recently, a combination of unfortunate events led us to being in a much more strenuous financial situation than we've ever been in before, and we've had to cut back on a lot of the comforts that we've enjoyed for a long time. What advice does the Council of Moms have to how I should approach this with my kids? They're ages 11 and 14, and I don't want to pass on the stress of our finances to them when they're already at such stressful ages. But I also don't want them to be surprised when we can't afford some of the nice things we've had in the past. Help.
Okay.
So where, what would you
That's like, that brings
address.
Up a lot for me.
Does
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Ooh, tell me why.
I just remember my husband being in grad school, we had our little baby, and I vividly remember, because I felt really embarrassed and ashamed about it, but we had no money. So I'd go to the grocery store with cash, and I would stand there, and I push my little stroller, and I'm doing this mental math, adding, and just, okay, this should be enough. And I think we spent like $40 a week on groceries. And then I would watch it tick away. And then and my math wasn't, I mean, I'm an English teacher, so my math is fine, but I'd watch it tick away, and then I would just feel my whole heart drop, like, and then the lady, I saw her every week, and so she was familiar with me, and I'd be like, okay, can you just put that back? Can you put that back? Can you put that back? And she was very kind, right? Mm-hmm. And she would, you know, put it back and be like, okay, here you go, and I'd leave, and I would just sob, like, because I just felt so, I felt like, I don't know. I felt like ashamed for some reason, like, oh, I can't get yogurt this week. And then and maybe that says something about me, even though really it doesn't. And so when you were talking about financial straits, that's what it brought back. But I think, and I don't, my kids are young, and so I tell them stuff and I'll figure out how it messes them up later. Mm-hmm. But I think I think about, like, sometimes I just say it, right? So my daughter will be in the grocery store, will be shopping. She's like, why don't you just buy this for me? I'm like, it's on the budget.
Yeah.
It's on the budget. Did you bring your money that grandma sent you? Well,
it's
no.
It's a learning opportunity,
yeah,
right?
It's just weird. We're not, absolutely. We're not going to buy it. It's not in the budget. And she's
but
like,
I love
oh,
that
okay.
you say it's not in the budget. I had a friend tell me, because I had a similar situation, five little kids. I was staying at home with them. My husband was in grad school. Like, we had, for most of our marriage, like, zero money because of the careers that we chose.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, there is an element.
You made a choice.
I made a choice and I was living it out.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was saying, I hated saying we can't afford, like, we can't, we're too poor, or like, we can't afford that, instead of saying, oh, it's not in the budget.
Yeah.
Like, there's an amount of money for all of these things, and we've already allocated it for that. It felt more empowering for me to say that than
Than the shame.
Yeah.
Right? You're shifting from shame to empowerment by doing that.
But I've cried at the grocery store, too.
It's the worst thing.
I know. Yeah. It's the worst. You just feel so dumb.
Yeah. Everybody has, I feel like.
You guys, I've cried everywhere, though. So I'm just much more comfortable with it now, and it's for different reasons. So.
Right. But I think there's something in that, it switching the emotion of it, right? Because I grew up in a really challenged, financially challenged childhood, right? We didn't have money. There's times we were on poverty. We, you know, and it felt shameful. It felt heavy. And I remember my mom, I remember her crying and not being able to take care of our family. Like, you remember it. And I think, you know, the advice I would give is move to that empowerment and rather and know it's temporary and you can do something about it, right? It's not going to be forever. You can change. And that's a lot of the work we do at Tech Moms is like, let's set a new vision. This is going to be a temporary thing. And if you're working towards some way of improving your finances and saying, hey, we're working toward this, but right now we're going to have to budget, it becomes a lot more empowering rather than caught up in the emotion and the shame and in that moment, right? Yeah. Like, well, what are the steps we're going to take to shift how we are managing our finances? Do I need to go back and reskill? Do I need to go gain, you know, additional employment some other way? And know that you're working towards something helps with going, hey, this is going to be temporary.
Yeah. Well, and I think on that same note, you have to tell your kids you're doing those things.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. They can,
they can feel it when you're stressed out. They can tell. And then if you're not telling them, I mean, for me, it was like, I guess it's my fault. Like, you know, I guess my fighting is making my mom stressed out versus being honest
open about what's
like,
happening.
I think they respect that.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel Absolutely. This way because we can't. I bought you these things for the holidays last year, but I can't do it this year.
I know. And that question, that change of like, oh, but it feels like you're going back. But that's life.
Yeah. I also want to say, find your tribe. Like, honestly, I think sometimes we internalize things as moms and we say, I can't do this for my kid. And so I'm a bad parent. But you might not be able to do it right now. But I know grandma can't. Like, it's okay to ask grandma. Like,
ask your grandma.
I grew up also struggling, and then I was a single mom. I went through all these things, and even now, like, sometimes I'm just like, oh my goodness. And everybody said, oh, get married, and it'll fix all your problems. And I'm like,
sorry.
Wrong answer.
No, it isn't. I know, because I'm married, and all my problems are fixed. But I will say, like, I like my husband's family. They're like, for instance, for Christmas, they're super into Christmas, and my family is super not into Christmas, and like they're great with the gifts. And sometimes at first I was like, I don't like that your parents are spending this much money, you know, but now I'm in a situation where I'm like, Grandma, yes.
Come on in.
I'm sending that list to Grandma because I know Grandma will help with that. And then even like sometimes I have a wonderful person, like a friend. She's so great and she loves my kids and she brings them gifts all the time. Oh. Well, my kids, like they don't know when she comes. So now what I've been doing is I've just been stacking them up and now I'm wrapping them all up and I'm putting them under that Christmas tree. I mean,
why not?
And they like, and then of course I will tell them, yes, these gifts came from a friend. So then it's like when they have Christmas, now they have that grateful heart, right? And they're like,
thank you
to this friend. I'm like, all these gifts in here, they're also from our sweet friend, you know, and they know who the friend is, you know. So I'm like, so you need to make sure you say thank you to them when you see them so that we are able to have this beautiful Christmas season because of the tribe, right? Because of grandma, because of our friends, and because of the people who are in our life. Like, people come into your life at a time and a season and they are there to help you. And I think we need to stop holding on to that with our pride, our mom pride, and let go and find the tribe. And if you're in a situation where you need to find new friends to help you in that time, find them. Like, go out, you know, while you're struggling. I think that's the hard part too. When we're struggling, we want to internalize it. We feel like we have to be the ones to fix the problem. But sometimes we can't, and we aren't the ones that need to fix the problem. Sometimes we really need to just find our tribe, reach out to whoever it is, talk to people, tell them our situation. You'd be surprised at the good hands that will just
support. And how many people that you'll find that are like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, even in this question, like, I just think how many, I wonder how much a comparison is a problem. Because like when my kids were younger, I worried a lot more about that. Now I don't, just because life is just beating it out of me.
Yeah.
But like where you think, well, I want them to be able to do these things too that their other friends can do or that I see other, like you want to give your kids the best things. Yeah. And especially if you were able to and then you weren't. But I think that I have learned, at least, like now that my kids are older, like it's all, I put it all on the table. Yeah. You know, they know that, like, I would just be like, you know what? Your dad and I chose weird careers that sometimes there's money and usually there's not. Yeah. And that's okay because we chose it.
Right.
You might choose something else or whatever, but that's why we don't have this kind of house or that, you know, these kinds of vacations or whatever. Nice. But like, not making them ungrateful. Like, too, I want to say, like,
it's an opportunity.
We're very grateful
to teach,
for
right?
this.
It's an opportunity. I remember we had a student, we have a Slack channel. There are our community talks a lot, right? And these types of questions come up. And one of them was talking about how guilty they felt that they were, you know, not being able to spend time with their kid while they were learning, you know, new skill sets. And I'm like, well, bring them in. Yeah. Like, why not be like, hey, this is what I'm doing and why I'm doing it so I can provide better for our family and our future. And like, get rid of the mom guilt, first of all. Like, that needs to be chucked, right? Like, no more freaking mom guilt. Like,
amen.
Look, hey,
right here, right now.
Yeah,
no more.
I call it pluck it and chuck it. Yeah. Like, let's get rid of that. And then and say, hey, there's a reason why I'm taking time right now. Stop for the conversation, but pull them in. And what a great opportunity from a financial perspective to teach budgeting and finances yes. and talk about yeah. money and the importance of mm-hmm. money, because I think we've shied away from those conversations for way too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our children are not being raised with that awareness.
Yes. And sometimes, I mean, for my 8-year-old, sometimes I just say stuff like, well, I'm not that person's mom.
Yes.
And because sometimes I don't have the energy for a teaching mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah.
You know, because I do work full time and mm-hmm. there's just a lot. And so she'll sit in and she'll be like, well, she's 8, right?
Yeah.
And she'll be like, my friend has mm-hmm. this. It's a cell phone. When can I just get a flip phone, mom? Like, when can I just get one? Yeah. And I'm like, when your grandpa buys you one. And she like laughs. Yeah. And then she'll say, well, how come she has one and I don't? I'm like, because I'm not their mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's none of my business.
I'm not their mom. Yes. And then sometimes that's enough for a moment. And then I try when I have more energy to circle mm-hmm. back and,
yes.
be more teachy mm-hmm. to her. But sometimes in the moment, the conversation is like, I'm not that person's parent.
Yeah. What great self-awareness though yeah. for you well, to go, hey, I'm not emotionally ready for this conversation.
Well, because you have to figure out what they're really asking.
Yeah.
I have found myself, I'm curious to how you feel like when your kids get older, how much you want to share with them and when. Mm-hmm. What do you think is appropriate? Like real numbers.
When it comes to
do you
money?
Know what I mean? When it comes to money and finances and
yeah.
Oh, like my son is 4 and I will have conversations with him. Obviously not like you would with a teenager because he can't understand concepts. But every opportunity is a learning yeah. opportunity, yeah. right? So like he goes to the store now and he knows that if he wants something, he has to buy it. Like that's a concept a little child can learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, we can't buy it this time, but we can buy it maybe later, or maybe yeah. you can ask for it for your birthday, or maybe at another time, like teach you. There's always yeah. a learning opportunity. It doesn't matter what age, you can teach them. Or when we are playing, we like have all of our food set out. You know, even I do this with the preschoolers, you know,
yeah.
and I'll have all the food set out and I'll be like, okay, guys, we're going to play store, right? Mm-hmm. And I teach them the concept. They're 4, but they can understand I need $4 bills for this fake ice cream, right?
Yeah.
And they can hand me $4 bills. And then they're understanding, like, you can always teach them. And
that's
on
so
this
great.
Note, like, traditions don't have to be firm, right?
Yeah.
So yes, maybe you did have a big Christmas for 5 years. Well, this year we're going to focus on a different thing and maybe we're going to change our new tradition to be visiting people instead mm-hmm. of focusing on the gifts.
Yeah.
Like you can always change it and you could teach your kids that. It doesn't matter what age you are. Like especially when they're young, that's the
yeah.
perfect time to start playing with tradition, start playing with these teaching mm-hmm. concepts
yeah.
because they're okay with relearning. They're okay yeah. with learning. They're in the process of learning. So nothing has to
yeah.
be set. Nothing has to be a firm way. And yes, yeah. maybe their friends do it some way, mm-hmm. but you're a different family. And
yeah.
so why? So, yeah,
mom
so yeah, you can change
mom.
It. Yeah.
When I was growing up, yeah, I mean, we were one of 5 kids and nobody had 5 kids in Nebraska where I grew up or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people would be like, oh my gosh, that's such a big family. And I'd be like, I know families that have 11 kids, you know,
yeah.
like, or whatever. Like, you think this is bad?
Yeah.
Like, my cousin's in Utah, you know,
yeah.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I remember my parents saying, like, well, we can live in this, we lived in a small house, a pretty small house.
Mm-hmm.
And, or we could live in a big house and like never go out to eat mm. and never like go to movies and stuff. But
yeah,
that's our family value. Our family value is we want to go out and do stuff. So this mm. is why, like, and I like that they framed it that
yes.
way.
Yeah.
And I find myself
why.
Speaking in that the same way of yeah. like, yeah, some families value this, some value that. We all have limited resources.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so where are you going to put it? I feel like it's a little bit more empowering to our kids. And
yeah.
now
yeah.
that my kids are a little older, I do talk about like 401ks
yeah.
and
yeah.
Roth
Investing,
IRAs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm starting to like use that language of like, are you saving? And you know,
yeah. And yeah. I would say, didn't the listener, they said their kids were 13 and
yeah.
And so I like count my blessings that my oldest is only 8.
Yeah.
Because she still just kind of accepts what I
yes.
say. So I wanted to like kind of make space.
Yeah, that's
for
their
that.
Reality right
yeah,
now.
She's yeah. She's 8. So, and I'm like, man, when she's 13, how would I explain to her? Like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
we're not going
Those
to.
Conversations
so I like
get
count
a
my blessings.
Bit more complex.
That,
yeah.
yeah. So I want to make space for that. Like,
yeah.
They're not always going to be happy with what you say.
Yeah, probably not.
Especially with this money thing.
Especially with the money thing.
Well, totally. Last year, this, that, and the other. Well, how come you made that choice then?
Or my friend does this.
My friend does this. And so I think, and as kids get older, and that's terrifying for me. I like my kids little. But for me, it's like, eventually I'm going to tell them something and they're really going to hate it. Yeah. And I'm not going to be able to convince them to accept it.
Yeah.
And so there's also space for that, right? Yeah. Helping them navigate maybe the sadness and the loss that comes with the financial situation. And then also helping them go, but here's what we're going to do as a family to still make this time special.
Yes. Yep. I think what keeps coming up to mind for me is that quote, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yep.
Right? Like, I think about that all the time of like, well, I could be doing this and they're doing that. And it's teaching that to ourselves, to myself every single day, right? I have to still do that, but with my kids as well. Like, we're not them. I love that you're saying that. Well, I'm not their mom. This is us. We get to choose our choices and do what we can within our life with what we have. And are we going to be the creators of change?
Yeah.
And not putting their value on their bank account, too. Because I think a lot of adults do that, too. Oh, and I love what you talked about finding your people, because I feel like I didn't do this intentionally. It was just kind of by accident. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad that my kids grew up. We have lots of different friends. Like, some are really, really wealthy and some are really, really not, you know? Mm-hmm. And having friends, like, on the different scale and being like, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Like, for a friendship, like, you don't have to just be friends with people in the same economic bracket as you.
Right.
And it's actually kind of great not to be
it's free.
And then you connect with people in a different way. I think it helps with that comparison because it's just like, oh no, we all have different life experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a mom, can I say this on your note? Holy cow. We always are like, I'm never going to do that like my mom. And we 100% always
do it Should we all just apologize to our moms right now?
Yeah. Sorry, mom. So your teenager's going to be like, oh, mom, you ruined my life and I don't like you and I'll never be like you. And then they're 110% going to be like you plus extra.
Yeah.
So you can always just be like, okay, baby. Let them move on with their life because they're 110% going to be just like you. And they're going to have that situation too. Almost everything that you're facing in your life, I feel like, prepares you for something in the future, right?
Yeah,
every
challenge
you have, every experience you have, it prepares you for whatever it is. And you sometimes don't even recognize it, right?
Right.
And then later in life, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that I went through that poor period of my life, because now when I'm in a better situation, I know how to handle those kind of things that come.
Yeah.
And so everything,
empathize with others, recognize other people, so many lessons.
Mm-hmm. And so think of that for your kids too. Yes, they're experiencing that, but maybe one day they're going to grow up and they're going to be, I don't know, surgeons or whatever. They're going to have a ton of money and they're going to remember the work that you put in and the care, the transparency, the conversations and the lessons that you taught when they weren't in that situation. They will come out of it. Yeah. We all do come out of it.
So, right now. We have a little plaque in our living room that says, you don't get what you wish for, you get what you work for.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been like our family, like, hey, what are you going to work for? Mm-hmm. Don't just wish for it. How are you going to get there, right? Yes. And I think just getting that mentality of like, well, we've got to work towards things. Yeah. It doesn't just show up. That entitlement, I think, is like a challenge for a lot of kids these days, right? Of like, oh, I'm just supposed to have the phone. Yeah. I'm just supposed to have it, right?
Yes.
Not understanding somebody had to work to earn that.
Yeah.
And how that works, I think, is a great understanding.
Yes.
And I think when you've been in that situation too, and you have been helped out by other people, like when my husband was really sick, it was a very expensive disease and people helped us out to adapt our home and like stuff that we couldn't have done on our own. And my kids remember that and they see like how much it meant to us and they want to give. And that idea, instead of how much can I get, but also how much can I give, is like a value that I want my kids to have.
Right. Yeah.
She'll pull out.
Absolutely.
Listener, wherever you are, you're gonna pull out.
We're going to do it.
Okay.
I think we solved it.
Yes.
I think so. You know, it comes and goes, but it's not always the end all. This is just
And it's going to be hard. Like it sounds like they're at like the brink of a challenge, right? And
doesn't
it? Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, when we were in grad school, like that was, you know, 8 years ago. But it sounds like they're right at the beginning. And so for me, it's easy to be like, and I survived. But when you tell a story, I'm like, man, that was horrible, and I hated it. So I think there's space for that, right? There's hope on the other side, but there's also space for this mom and her kids to just sit in the 100%. Fact that this is hard, and we'll navigate it and we'll be successful, but it is hard, and it's okay that it sucks sometimes.
And they'll probably go through it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's never over.
Yes.
There is hope, but there's also no hope. Yeah. But there is hope.
Well said. You couldn't have said it better. And I believe it.